Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Psachim Daf Mem Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin our shiur 9 lines from the top of Daf Mem Aleph. Before we begin the actual Gemara, we glance at the side where we have a nosei, a topic heading, where we've written Iser Bishul HaPesach B'mayim u'b'shar mashkim, the prohibition of cooking the korban pesach in water or other liquids. So, a quote from the Mishnah, Ein mevashlim v'chulei, Tonu Rabbanan. We have a Tanaic source you can see in a frame. We will be referring to Shmois, Perek, Yud Beis, Pasuk Tes. The Torah in that section deals with the laws of the Korban Pesach. Now, just for general knowledge, before we make reference to Pasuk Tes, Pasuk Ches should also be familiar to us. And we read it in the Chumash, it reads, V'ochlu es habosar balaylo hazeh, tzli eish umatzois al meroyim yochluhu. Which means that you shall eat the Korban Pesach, the meat, that night, the night of what we call the Seder night. It's the 15th of Nisan, in a tzli eish roasted form, whereby the Korban Pesach is the sheep or goat, whichever you're using as your Korban Pesach, is skewered and roasted over an open fire. U'matzois amrorim yochluen, you eat it together with matz and moror. Now, Pasuk Tes, which is what our Gemara makes reference to, reads as follows. And this you can see on the side of the Gemara. Al tochlu mimenu no uvashel mevusho b'moyim. You shall not eat it in a state of preparation known as no. No is, we'll call it, under-roasted. And nor one should eat it, boshel mevusho b'moyim, nor should one eat it cooked. Ki'im tzli eish rosh akro v'al kirbo. And again, the Pasuk repeats that it shall be roasted. So in Pasuk Ches, there was a reference to it needing to be roasted, as well as in Pasuk Tes. The fact that we are dwelling on this will be of importance later in the Gemara. So now we turn to the text itself. Tonu Rabbanan v'mayim. As we said, this appears in Pasuk Tes. Ein li'elo b'mayim, when the Torah warns against it being cooked in water, from the Pasuk itself, I would say, well, only water. If you cook it in another liquid, it wouldn't be prohibited. Shar mashkin minayin, so where do we learn that there is a prohibition in cooking the Korban Pesach in other liquids? Amris, kalvachomer. So the answer to that lies in a kalvachomer logic. As follows, Uma mayim she'ein mefigin tamon asurin. Mind you, water which has no inherent taste, so it doesn't interfere with the taste of the meat, and yet cooking in water would be forbidden. Shar mashkin shemafigin tamon lo yikol shekein. Other beverages, other liquids that have inherent taste that would interfere with the taste of the meat would all the more so be forbidden. Once again, if water, which doesn't change the taste of the meat, but cooking in water is forbidden, other liquids which would change the taste of the meat, would all the more so be forbidden. Rebbe Omer Bamayim. Rebbe quotes the word and says, Ein li elo mayim. Rebbe goes through the same question as the first opinion in this source, and he says, well, from the Pasuk itself, I see only water. Shar mashkin minayin, other beverages, from where do I know they are prohibited? Talmud lomar, uvoshel mevushol mikomokom. The double expression is inclusive of all kinds of liquids. The Gemara asks, "My Binai, what's the difference between Rebbe and the previous opinion? Both, in effect, are prohibiting, in addition to the Torah's prohibition of water, they are both coming to the conclusion that other liquids are forbidden as well. So what is the difference between these two opinions?" The Gemara answers, "Ika Binaihu, Tzli Kedar." Tzli Kedar is a situation where you take the meat and you put it in a pan and then put the pan with the meat in it into an oven, whereby the meat will basically cook in its own juice. In other words, it's not being roasted over an open fire, nor is it being cooked in a liquid environment, an external liquid environment, but as we said, it's cooking in its own juice, so to speak. The fats and liquids that ooze forth from the meat will be the medium in which this Korban Pesach is going to be cooked, as opposed to it being skewered and cooked over an open fire. I don't know in English if the appropriate term is pan broiled or roasted, but whatever the case is, the meat is put into a pan without any other liquid. So the difference will be that if you learn from a kal vachomer, so then this would be okay because you're not using water in the first place. So the whole kal vachomer logic doesn't even get started because, as we said, you're not using any water to begin with. However, according to Rebbe, who says it's a scriptural reference, boshel mevushel, meaning any form of it being cooked other than an open fire, that will be prohibited. So according to Rebbe, this would be usur. V'rabbonon, hi, boshel mevushel, my avdilei. The Rabbanon, who the first opinion in the Tanaic source we read, what do they learn from the double expression? Miboya le lichiritanya. They need it for the following. Bishloi v'achakach tzoloi o shetzolo v'achakach bishlo chayav. Whether one cooked it first and then roasted it, or roasted it first and then cooked it, he will be chayav. Chayav means, Rashi says, chayav malkos al achiloso. He's chayav malkos for eating it that way. His malkos are lashings, which are, generally speaking, associated with the violation of a negative command. So when the Torah says, al tochlu mimenu, no vashem levushamayim, the al tochlu is a negative command. And that's going to include, we'll call it, any exposure to cooking, whether it's cooked first and then roasted, or even if it's roasted first and then cooked. So the Gemara says, Bishlamo, I understand well, Bishloi v'achakal tzolo chayav, where he first cooked it up, so it became ready through cooking. That he roasted it afterwards, okay. Well, chayov, that is simple to understand as chayov d'ha bashle, because he did cook it up. In other words, at the point that he cooked it, it was ready to eat then, so that it was established as being cooked meat. So I understand why eating that results in malkos. But if he roasted it first, it became ready as roasted meat. The fact that he cooked it up afterwards, why should that make a difference? Why should the cooking that he does afterwards somehow undo the fact that it is roasted? So the Gemara answers, and you'll notice we have a crown shape on the side of the Gemara. We have as our topic, Ma kocho shel bishul achar tzli, or afia. What is the strength of a cooking that takes place after something has either been roasted or something has been baked? Under the mivne heading, the crown shape, represents shnei deos al mi sover. There will be two opinions regarding who holds Diyesh Bishul Achar Tzli, that even though something has already been roasted, it can be labeled as cooked, if even if it's cooked after the roasting, b'korban pesach, this has bearings regarding a korban pesach, lifsol, to ruin the korban pesach, which the Torah insists on being roasted. So we have two opinions. You see Rav Kahana and a few lines Ula. So now we continue. Omar Rav Kahana, ha money Rav Yosi hi. The source that we read four lines above that said tsolo v'achakach bishlo could result in malchus. This is in accordance with Rav Yosi Desanya. Now here we're going to go to the realm of matzah. The Torah expects us to eat a matzah which is baked in an oven. So it says in this source, Yotzin Barokik Hashorui Uvemavushal Shaloni Mochtiver Rabbi Meir. One can fulfill his matzah requirement through a rokik. Rokik is a baked item that is shori, that is soaked, or that has been cooked but has not fallen apart. That's Rabbi Meir's opinion. In other words, the fact that it's cooked does not undo its original status of being a baked item. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Yotzin Barokik Hashorui, if you simply soaked the matzah, that does not interfere with the mitzvah. Avolo b'mevushal, afalpi shaloni moach. However, if the matzah has been cooked, even if it remains intact, one cannot fulfill his mitzvah. Why is that? Because the cooking undoes the baking, and as a result, it's no longer considered lechem. Lechem is that which is baked in a tanur. In fact, there was a posuk that we have seen in previous dapim, the ofu es lachmechem betanur. So what do we see here? That even though it was originally baked, the subsequent cooking undoes, it nullifies its original status. So who is the author of that idea? That we see in the name of Rabbi Yossi. Ula Omar Afilu Tema Rabbi Meir. The din above of the Tzolo V'yahu Bishlo could be even in accordance with Rabbi Meir. You'll ask, well, according to Rabbi Meir, the second act doesn't undo the first act. So the Gemara says, Shaini Hocha. Here it is different. In the case of the Korban Pesach, the Omar Kro, the Pasuk says, Uvashel Mevushal Mikomakom. The double expression by the Korban Pesach indicates any appearance of the cooking, whether it be, of course, the first stage, but here even the second stage, even where it was cooked after the Tzliya. So, as far as we are concerned, the source above could be, as far as Ula is concerned, not, it could be understood according to all authorities, even Rabbi Meir, who in general will say that the second stage doesn't undo that which it achieved in the first stage, but in the case of the Korban Pesach, the din is different. Tonu Rabbonan. Yochol Tzolo Kol Tzorchoi Yehei Chayav. Now this is a very unusual opening. The Gemara, after this Tanaic source, will ask, like, what are we really talking about over here? So here we'll play along, but we say it's hard to understand it. Can one find himself guilty, chayav, for eating the Korban Pesach improperly if it's tzoloi kol tzorcho? That would literally, it means if it's fully roasted, would that be chayav? Chayav, would it be chayav malchus? Talmud Lomar, Al tochlu mimenu no uvoshel levushol b'mayim. The Torah warns against eating it no, which is, like we said before, means under roasted or cooked. No uvoshel levushol amarti loch. That's what I said is prohibited by the negative command. V'lo shetzolo kol tzorcho. But not the case of tzolo kol tzorchoi. Heichi domi, what is that? What is tzolo kol tzorchoi? Omer of Ashi, the shavio charucha, where you could say over roasted it. Charucha means it's charred. Rashi says soruf, it's burnt. So according to this source, if you eat the Korban Pesach burnt, you are not in violation of a negative command. Tanu Rabbanan. We continue with levels of preparation of the meat and what halachic outcome is there. On the side of the Gemara, you can see we have the Nosei, which we already started, was Loiken al Noh of the Amavusha. One is subject to Malkus for eating the meat in a Noh state or in a cooked Mavushal state. Avolo al Tzolo called Tzorchoi, which is what we just discussed. And number two, Chai Legamri, totally raw. So the next source deals with that topic. Yochol Ochal Kezayas Chai Yechayev. Let us say ate an olive quantity of Korban Pesach totally raw. Would that be worthy of malchus, of lashing? Is that considered a violation of the negative command of the Torah? Talmud Lomar, al tochlu mimenu no uvoshel nevushol. Don't eat it in that state. No uvoshel omar tiloch, as being, it's in those cases that the Torah has its negative command. Velo chai. Chai is not mentioned. Yochli e mutter, well, if it's not mentioned as prohibited, does that mean that can be a first choice, that you can eat the Korban Pesach totally raw? Talmud Lomar, ki im tzliyeshti, the Torah insists on it being roasted. That, in other words, there's a positive command that you shall eat it roasted. Now, there is a point worth emphasizing here, and you can see this in Rashi. As far as if you were to eat it raw, in other words, you're not eating it roasted, what level violation is there? So you can see in this source that it would not be chayav malchus. It's considered a violation of an asay. And if you say, and as far as trying to infer from that a negative command, namely eating, the pasuk says eat it roasted, and then you would infer, well, not raw. That's an inference. That's called that would be a lav habo michlal asay, or in this case Rashi makes reference to a lav shebicholos, meaning the pasuk tells me what is forbidden, and then I'm left to infer what else is included. According to this Tana, that kind of negative command that's not specified, but it's derived through this inference, that would not result in malchus. You can see this information in the Rashi, Yochol Yehi Mutter, Le'echol Mimenu Chai L'chadchilu. Could that be a first choice way of eating? Da'filu Isur Anami Leko, to suggest that there isn't even something prohibited about that? Talmud Lomar, Al Tochlu Mimenu No, Ki'im Tzliyesh. The Torah says don't eat it in the No state, but rather eat it roasted. V'lo Ze She'eno Tzli, and not raw, which is not roasted. The eating of it raw is a negative command, but it's through inference. V'hai Tana Sovar Ein Loiken Alav Shebecholos. This Tana holds that it's not worthy of Malkus, a lav like this. In other words, if you have a negative command that's not specified in the Pasuk, in this case the Pasuk specifies no and boshel mevushal, but there are other things that are other negative commands that are not specified here, it's figured by inference. According to this approach, negative commands of that nature do not warrant or do not receive lashing. Why are we dwelling on this? Because later, and you can see in the way we've marked our Rashi, there is another opinion that says the opposite, that one does get malchus on this kind of lav. So we continue in the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan, Yochol Ochal Kezayas Chai Yechayov. Could it be that if someone eats Well, let us just pause for a minute. We actually read this source already. So we continue after this source. Hechi domi na. Beginning of the line, you see, hechi domi na. How is, or what is the case of the Torah's prohibition of eating the Korban Pesach na? What does that word mean? Omar Rav, kide amri parsoi avarnayim. If you understand Persian and you recognize the word avarnayim, so then you know what naw is. But for our purposes, being that we're not Persian speakers, or we will rely on the general understanding of naw as being something that's only partially roasted. On the side of the Gemara, we have a topic heading, the topic being Bishul HaPesach B'chamei Tveria Mishum Mai Chayv. Let us say one cooked the Korban Pesach in the hot springs of Tiberias. These are natural springs, geothermal sources of hot water. There is a trapezoid or volcano shape that we see here, and the Mivneh explanation indicates that these are Shnei Lishonos Rav Chisda. There are two versions of Rav Chisda. So now the Gemara. Omar Rav Chisda, Hamavashel B'chamei Tveria B'Shabbos Potter. Pesach Shebishel B'chamei Tveria Chayav. This halacha, or the two points, are almost contradictory, and we will have to analyze it. Number one says that if you, on Shabbos, which is a day that cooking is strictly prohibited, and you cooked up some food using the Chamei Tevera, these geothermal springs, on Shabbos, you are exempt. That's not considered the Torah prohibition of cooking. And then, so that we've established that Chamei Tveria is not halachically categorized as real cooking. Once again, and I hope that the listeners to Gemara Markings Daf Yomi Shum don't get frustrated with some of our over-repetition or our repetition of certain points, but there is one of those things that needs to be emphasized. So certainly for first-time listeners, we have mentioned that translation while learning Torah, or while learning especially Gemara or Torah Shebaal Peh, translation can get a person into a lot of trouble. Therefore, the term cooking in English would be a misrepresentation of the term bishul. Bishul is a halachic category, so that we can talk about something being cooked in Chamei Tveria, but at the same time, we will tell you that is not bishul. Why? How could that be? When everyone who knows even basic has a basic knowledge of Hebrew knows that levashel or bishul is cooking. So the resolution to that is that we in learning Gemara are not involved with translations, but we're trying to understand halachic categories. So the concept of bishul, as far as the Torah is concerned, involves, we'll say, putting water in a pot on the fire. But geothermal heated water is not the same thing. So once we've established that Chamei Tveria does not result in the Isser of Bishol, so then we will say that's not called Mevushal. Now, what's halacha number two? Pesach shebishlo b'chamei tveria chayav. That would mean that one who eats a korban pesach that's cooked in the chamei tveria is guilty. Chayav would mean he is chayav to be lashed for eating something mevushal. Well, but you just got finished saying that chamei tveria does not create bishol. So would that not be contradictory? The Gemara asks this, my shno b'Shabbos delo, what is different about Shabbos that Chamei Tveria is not considered the av melacha, the primary a primary form of Shabbos violation known as Bishul. Why? The Toldos Eish Bo'inon Veleka, that in order to be classified as Bishul, it would have to be the product of a fire. Well, if that be the case, and the Chametur are not a product of a conventional fire, whatever geothermal heat is, it is not a conventional fire. Therefore, Chametveria does not produce the, or does not result in the Av Melocha Bishul violation. Well then, Pesach Nami, Lav Toldos Eshu, Pesach also is governed by the same term Bishul. Why then should there be a Chiyuv Malkois for eating Pesach meat that was cooked in Chamei Teveria? Omar Rava, my Chayov de Ka'omar, the Ka'ovar Mishum Tzli'esh. This is an unbelievable answer. The Rava tells us that Rav Chista's comment of Pesach Shebishul B'chamit V'rechayov, the Chiyuv is not because of what the Pasuk says, Al Tochlu Mimenu Mevushal. Because, in fact, this is not a problem of Mevushal, but it is a problem of the fact that you ate Korban Pesach that was not roasted. So, if you look in the Pasuk, and Pasuk Tes, and we have it written on the side of the Gemara, you, in your mind's eye, would see the Pasuk saying, Al Tochlu Ki'im Sliesh. Do not, that's a negative command, that's a negative command, generally speaking, results in Malkos. So it says Al Tochlu, and that expression Al Tochlu is distributed throughout the Pasuk, not only regarding Noh and Mevushal, but also on one who does not eat it roasted. Now, here, Rashi points out that what, in effect, are we seeing? We're seeing a negative command that's determined through inference. The Pasuk tells you how you are supposed to eat it. You're supposed to eat it Sli'esh. But at the same time, it's using the Al Tochlu as referring to that as well. So this is considered a Deya, an opinion that holds that there is Malkos for Lav Shebechlalus. We could see this in the Rashi. Well, three lines from the bottom, Mishum Sli'esh, Lav the Loi Toichal, which in the Pasuk it's phrased Al Tochlu, and it goes on to say, Ki Im Sli'esh, Ika, Velo Lav the Bishul. The violation here is not because you have violated the Bishul, but it's because you have violated the intention of the Pasuk, the Savar, Loikin alav shebechlolos. Here, the Pasuk tells you how you are supposed to eat it. You're supposed to eat it roasted. What did you do? You went and ate it another way. You ate it cooked in Chamei Teveria. So, the Torah says how you are supposed to eat it. From that, you could derive how you are not supposed to eat it. And as such, this is an inferred negative command, and we are using the pasuk that says lo tochal and expanding it to include this, the case of mevushal b'chamei teveria, as an additional negative command. And even though, and this is the main point, even though the chamei teveria is not a specified negative command, in other words, in that sense, it's unlike the Noh, and it's not unlike the Mevushal, as we established, the Chamitur is not Mevushal. Those, the case of Noh and Mevushal, are specified negative commands, but this opinion holds that even if it's an unspecified negative command, it still can result in Malkos. We should point out that it appears that the idea of inferring a negative command and there being Malkos, according to this approach, there has to be some type of negative command in the vicinity. As you can see here, it says, Al tochlu mimenu no voshe mevushal. But all things aside, the issue of, like we had before, the issue of eating it raw, or you eating it in chamei teveria, those are not specified in the negative commands of the pasuk. They are merely derived or inferred. So in that sense, they fall under this concept of lav shebecholos. We continue in the Gemara. Rav Chia b'Reid Rav Noson Masni Lo Lahoda Rav Chisda. He, Rav Chia, teaches Rav Chisda, who says there's a chiyuv, there's a violation because of Tzli Eish. He learns that as Rav Chisda having said that explicitly. As follows, Omer Rav Chisda, Hamavashel b'chamei Tveria b'Shabbos Potter, because Chamei Tveria does not constitute the Av Melocha of Bishul, uPesach sheBishul b'Chamei Tveria Chayov sheOvar Mishum Tzli Eish. Here we dashed underline. This is the difference in this version of Rav Chisda than the first version. In the first version, Rav Chisda didn't spell out sheOvar Mishum Tzli Eish, and here he does. But it's the same result in that the Malkus, the negative command of eating Pesach sheBishul b'Chamei Tveria, is because of the violation of not having eaten it roasted. As you can see, we have a slash mark that indicates that which follows is a new trend of thought. On the side, under our Mivneh heading, we have a diamond featured, and we will also be noting that there's Roman numerals 1 and 2. The note says, Shnei noisim, there are two topics in Mivnim domim, with very similar structures. So that the you'll see the similarity as we get into the Gemara. The first topic deals with what we've been talking about till now, the Korban Pesach. What are the penalties if one eats it either no or mevushal? And what punishments are there? How many punishments are there? The second topic will deal with a nazir, who this is a person who took upon himself through a nazir vow not to drink wine nor eat grape or vine grape products. We will see in this section of Gemara a machlokes between Rava and Abaye, and let us continue in the Gemara. Omar Rava, Ochloi No. If he ate the Korban Pesach in the No state, we continue at the top of Amud Beis, Loike Shtayim. He will be guilty of two sets of Malkos. What are the two sets of Malkos? So Rashi explains at the top, Lo Kishtayim, number one, Mishum Loi Soichal No, the Pasuk said, and we already made reference to this Pasuk, Al Tochlu Mimenu No. That's a Al Tochlu is a negative command, and negative commands, if they're specific negative commands, they will result in lashing. But here's another set of lashes, umishum, Rashi says, lo tochlu ki im tzli eish. That same pasuk, if you take the al tochlu expression at the beginning and connect it with the additional phrase later where the Torah says you must eat it roasted, and therefore eating it in some way other than it being roasted, in this case he ate it no, so he is in violation of that lav as well. We continue in the Gemara at the top line, Mevushol Lokishtayim. If he eats it cooked, he is going to be chayav two sets of lashings. Again, one because of the specific lav, don't eat it cooked, and he did. And the second lav that he violated, which will result in Malkos, is for his having eaten it other than roasted. Now another scenario, he ate no umevushol. Let us say he ate an olive quantity of Korban Pesach in the Noah state. and another olive quantity in the mevushal state, and he would be then chayav loike shalosh. He would be guilty three sets of malkos. Why is that? Well, he violated the gnaw, he violated the mevushal, and he also did not eat it tzli esh. Abaye Omar ein loikin alav shebechlolos. Abaye says there's no malchus for that kind of lav. Rashi says lav shebechlolos hu the kolel bo kol mine bishulim she'enon tzliya le'isur. By looking at the pasuk as we did, don't eat it other than tzli'esh. So what is forbidden? Well, a whole host of types of meat preparation will be forbidden. Anything that's other than tzli'esh. So that kind of lav, as we said before, it's essentially it's an inferred method, an inferred way of eating, from an inference drawn from ki'im tzli'esh. However, everything that we're inferring is not something that's specified in the pasuk. So Abaye says there's no malchus for a lav shebecholos. Now, as far as understanding Abaye is concerned, there are two approaches in the Gemara. Hiko v'yamri, tarti hu delo loki, chado miho loki. We'll translate before we go into the Rashi, because without the Rashi, this is actually hard to understand. But the first opinion is, he won't be chayev two sets of malchus, but one yes. Iko di'amri chado nami lo loki. Not even one set of malchus for this kind of lav. Delo miyachid lave kelav dechasimo. Because it's let us say you ate it in some way other than sli'esh. Well, whatever that other way is, it wasn't specified. And therefore, it doesn't resemble the archetype negative command that has malchus, which is the case of lav dechasimo. There, the Torah says, al tachsom shor bedisho, do not muzzle up an ox while it is threshing grains. And right after that, in the Torah describes malchus. So we learn from that juxtaposition that a lav that is chayev in malchus has to be a lav that is explicit and not something that's simply inferred. Now, what do we mean? What do these two versions of Abaye mean? The first one saying two no, but one yes, and the other saying one not at all. So we'll look at Rashi. Rashi on the fourth line from the top, Iko diamri tarti hu de lo loki. Kefan shu loke mishum no o mishum mevushal. If you have a person that ate the meat, no or mevushal, he's going to get malchus for that. Su lo loki mishum klau the ki'im tzli'esh. So the ki'im tzli'esh portion of the pasuk is not going to generate an additional set of malchus. He's getting lashed anyway for his violation of something explicit. Avochado miho loki kigon, the Rashi continues, hamavashel b'chamei tveria v'ochloi. Let's say he cooked up the korban pesach chamei tveria. Now, as we said before, that the ain kan malchus de bishul v'lo malchus shel noh. Here, he's not violating bishul, as we established earlier that chamei tveria does not constitute bishul, nor is it a case of noh. So, what's the story with this guy? Because we don't have one of the specific negative commands, one of those that were, or I say explicit negative commands, namely nol or bishul, so we will give him, this guy who ate it in a way other than nol or mevushal, we will give him malchus for the ki'im tzli'esh violation. V'iko di'amri chado nami lo loki mishum ki'im tzli'esh. The second version of Abaye says that a fellow like that ate it the Mevushal B'chamei Tveria will not get Malkus for the Ki'im Sli'esh violation. The Lo Miyuchad Lave Didei Kilav Dechasima Shehu Meforish Yisuro. The violation of one who ate it, the Mevushal B'chamei Tveria, who ate it, let's say completely raw, is in violation of something, but it's not in violation of a specified, explicit or explicitly specified negative command, which is the case when it comes to the lav dechasima, the prohibition of using a muzzled animal while threshing, which is spelled out explicitly in the Torah. And in that particular parsha, right next to it is the parsha of Malkos, the section of Torah dealing with lashing, which shows me that if you want to know under what circumstances there will be lashing, it has to be a negative command like lav dechasima, which is a specified, explicit negative command, as opposed to one who eats a korban pesach either raw or mevushal b'chamei tveria, where he hasn't violated something that was explicitly prohibited. So according to the second version of Abaye, a person who ate the korban pesach mevushal b'chamei tveria would not be subject to any lashing. We continue in the Gemara with a second topic. Structurally, you will see great similarity, but content-wise, this is a different topic. The topic being a nazir who is, because of his nazir, because of his nazir vow, so he is not allowed to drink wine nor partake of vine products. When we speak about vine products, we talk about the grape and the which is something other than wine, right? The grape skin, their grape seeds, their tendrils, their grape leaves, all kinds of things were associated with the vine. Now, when we look at the pasuk that is related to this, we would be looking at Bamidbar Perek Vav. We'll be interested in Psukim, Gimel, and Dalet. So let us read those Psukim. You will see them also on the side of your Gemara. Pasuk Gimel of Perek Vav reads, Miyayin v'sheichor yazir, choymetz yayin v'choymetz sheichor lo yishteh, which roughly means from wine and fermented wine, one shall restrain himself even from vinegar made from wine, also he shall not consume. V'chol mishras anovim lo yishteh. Let us have to say something that's soaked in grapes, in grape juice, or anovim lachem viveshim lo yochel, he shall not eat fresh grapes nor raisins. Kol Pasuk Dalet says, Kol yemei nizroi mikol asher yas ye oseh mi gefen hayayin. During all the time of his nazirus, from everything that's produced from the gefen hayayin, from the vine, mecharzanim viad zog lo yochel. From charzanim, which might refer to the grape seeds, viad zog, the grape skin, you shall not eat. Now, if you are looking at things that are specified or explicit in terms of the negative command, so in addition to the things mentioned in Pasuk Gimel, you have the wine and the wine vinegar and the actual grapes and raisins. You also have grape seeds and grape skins. What about, let's say, grape leaves? Or what about tendrils that grow on the grape clusters? What about those things? Well, on the one hand, they are from Gefen Hayayin. However, they're not specified in the Pasuk. With that introduction, let us now look at the Gemara. Omar Rava, Ochal Zog, Loikishtayim. Chartzan, Loikishtayim. Zog v'chartzan, Loikishalosh. Notice the similarity in structure between this section and the section before with regard to the Korban Pesach. So if he eats a grape zag is, we'll say, the skin of a grape, and eats a sufficient quantity of grape skin, he will be subject to two sets of malchus. What are the two sets of malchus? So one is because he ate zag, which the pasuk specifies in pasuk dalid. It said zog lo yochel. The second set of malchus refers to the pasuk that said mikol asher yase migefen ayayin. That was also in pasuk dalid, that he is prohibited from eating anything that comes from the vine. Likewise, if he eats chartzon, if the nozir eats a grape, he eats grape seeds, he'll be subject to two sets of malchus. One is the fact the pasuk specifies chartzanim lo yochel, and secondly, because it's also an item that comes from the vine. And if a nozir ate zag v'chartzon, he ate both a zag and chartzon, so lokesh shalosh, in addition to the two sets of malchus for the specified item zag and chartzon, he also gets a third set of malchus because of the fact it falls under the mikol asher yasim migefen ayan. It's also a product, those are products from the grape vines. Abaye Omar, ein loikin al lav shebecholos. Abaye says that for this kind of lav, which is, we'll say, general, and leaves you to infer other things that aren't specified in the pasuk, it says, from anything that is produced from the vine, the nazir is prohibited. So it's a lav that's not it's not specified. It's understood from a general statement. Abaye says there is no malchus for that kind of lav. Now, Iko Diamri, one version of Abaye is Tartihu de lo loki, chado mi o loki. Iko Diamri, chado nami lo loki. De lo miachid, lave kelav de chasimo. Let us take a look once again at the Rashi. Lav shebechlolos, ein loikin al mikol asher yaseh. The pasuk had said, mikol asher yaseh migefen ayayin. And it went on to say in the pasuk, lo yochel, he shouldn't eat. So this is a general statement that says anything produced from the grapevine, he shall not eat. The lav shebechlolosu, this is called a lav that's in a general form. Shekoleil, it includes all kinds of things that were mentioned and some that were not. It includes chartzanim, v'zagim, v'anovim, lachim, v'yveshim. By the way, those are explicit in the pasuk, but in addition, v'olim, v'lulvin, it includes grape leaves and grape tendrils, which are not mentioned in the pasuk specifically. So Abaye is of the feeling that a lav like that is not worthy of being punished through lashing. Let's continue in the Rashi. Tarti lo loki. Heichad ochal zago chartzin v'loki olayu. Where you have someone that ate one of the specified products and is going to get lashed anyway for them, lo loki su mishol mikol asher yaseh. He doesn't deserve another set of malchus because of those things falling under the category of mikol asher yaseh, anything coming from the grapevine being prohibited. Umoida Abaye dimochal zag v'chartzin lo kishtayim. Abaye will concede that if a person ate zag and chartzin, he gets two sets of matas to give the mefurush kol echod liatzmo, since each one, the zag and the chartzin, appear explicitly. Koi nami alav de lo yochel. The lav, the negative command of lo yochel, is distributive on those, because they are mentioned specifically. Even though what Rashi is saying is, even though the pasuk doesn't have a separate lo yochel statement for zag and a separate statement of lo yochel for chartzon, nevertheless, the fact that we're looking at the lo yochel, which is a negative command in a distributive form, that does not diminish the level of culpability. V'havi k'man d'kosef lav ha'kol chad v'chad, and it's therefore as if the lo yochel, which is a negative command, which generates malchus, is stated by each one separately. V'achimuchu m'seches nozir, and this is proven in that tractate. The lo poleg abaye elo amalchus d'mikol asher yaseh. The only point that Abaye is arguing with is with regard to looking at Mikol Asher Ye'oseh Migefen Ayayin as something that could generate Malchus. Now, the next Rashi, Chado Mihaloki, Im Ochal Olin Veluvin. If a person had eaten either grape leaves or grape tendrils, the Ein Kan Malchus Dezag V'chartzen, there is no Malchus for those because, well, leaves and tendrils are not skins nor seeds. So he's not going to get Malchus for Zag or Chartzen. Loki Mishum Lav, the Mikol Asher Ye'oseh. So according to this version of Abaye that said that Tarti Udilo Loki Chado Miho Loki, that means that if he ate something like grape leaves, he will get, under those circumstances, he will get Malchus for the Kol Asher Ye'oseh, because there is nothing else to give him to punish him with, or punish him for. The second version of Abaye, the Iko de Amri, says that if you're looking to give someone Malchus, you cannot give him for a lav shebechlolos whatsoever. Even if he ate something like grape leaves, that if you're not going to give it for Kol Asher Ye'oseh, you're not going to give him Malchus for anything else, because the grape leaves are not specified in the pasuk. So as we saw already, let's read that just again in the Gemara. The Aleph, the Iko di Amri, Tartihu de lo Loki, Chara Mihas Loki. That means, according to Abaye, the case where he ate something that was not specified in the Pasuk but comes from the vine, he will get one set of Malchus because of Mikol Asher Ye'oseh Migefen Ayayin. And Iko di Amri, Chado Nami lo Loki, even for even one set of Malchus, he will not get. The lo miachid lave kelav de chasima, because regarding grape leaves, you don't have a specified, explicit negative command, making it unlike the archetype of Malchus, namely the lav of chasima, the negative command of muzzling an animal while threshing grain. Before we go further, we have a slash mark, as you can see, indicating a new trend of thought. And on the side, under the nosei, the topic heading, we have written Achilas no utsli miboid yoim. Someone who eats from the Korban Pesach either no or tsli, but he eats it on the 14th of Nisan. Well, that's during the daytime. The Korban Pesach is slaughtered on the 14th of Nisan during the afternoon hours. And it is, from the Torah standpoint, it's supposed to be eaten at night after having been roasted. What about someone who eats the Korban Pesach, naw or tzli? Now, naw, we know that that's a reference to under-roasted, and tzli is proper roasting. Either one of these cases, but he eats it at the wrong time. The issue is the timing here. What is the halachic result? And this topic will keep us preoccupied down the rest of this omid. Tonu Rabbanan, Ochal kezayis no mivod yom. He ate an olive quantity of Korban Pesach in the no state while it's still day. It's the 14th of Nisan. Potter, he is exempt. In other words, if he would eat no at night, so that falls under the specific prohibition of the pasuk, Al tochlu mimenu no uvashem uvushal b'mayim. But he didn't eat it at the time the Korban Pesach is ordinarily eaten. He ate it on the 14th by day. So the Tana says he's exempt. Kezayis no mishachashecha, chayav if he ate an olive quantity of no after darkness fell in, so he is chayav. Ochal kezayis tzli miba'od yom, lo posal atzmo mibnei chabura. Kezayis tzli mishachashecha, posal atzmo mibnei chabura. We have to give just a word of introduction to this section. if someone wants to eat from a Korban Pesach, he joins a group of people. Someone owns an animal, and he appoints people, or people join up with him to form a chabur. In fact, people will pay money to join in and participate in someone's Korban Pesach. That group of people is known as a chabura. The halacha says that a person cannot eat in two groups. If we look in the Rashi, there's a dibra masal lo pasal as asmu b'bnei chabura. The Amrin l'kamon, the Gemara later in this mesicht, it says eina pesach nechal lo b'shtei chaburos ke'echad v'eina oichel b'shnei mekoymos. A person cannot eat as Korban Pesach as part of two groups, even if the two groups are in the same location, but they're two separate groups. And likewise, a person cannot eat his Korban Pesach in two separate locations. V'nafkalon, Rashi says, mi babayis echod yeochel. This is a pasuk in Shmos Perek Yud Beis, pasuk mem vav. The pasuk says, he shall eat it in one house, umetargaminon b'chabura chali yisachel. And the Aramaic targum of that is that in one group it must be eaten. V'achila demod yom, v'achilahi. And what we are pointing out here is that one who eats while it's still day, it's not even reckoned, it's not considered an act of achila. Once again, we have the issue of translation versus halachic concept. So that the physical consumption of the food that you do, mibod yom, is not considered halachically an act of achila. And therefore, umutu lecho mishetech shachim b'nei chabura shenim neimarmi. And therefore, eat another kezias after nightfall with the group of people that he had joined. So that's what we just saw in the source. Let's read it again in the words. Ochal kezias tzli. We're reading the Bay's comment. If he ate a kezias, an olive quantity of roasted meat, however he ate it mibol yom, lo posal atzmo mibnei chabur. He is not thereby prevented from eating with the group of people that he joined up with at night. It's not a problem of, we'll call it, shnei mekomos. Kezayas tzli mishachashecha, if he ate on his own a kezayas of tzli, an olive quantity of tzli after darkness fell in, and he ate that on his own, Posel atzmo mibnei chabura. He has ruined himself from being part of the group that he was appointed to. As Rashi says, this would be a problem of eating b'shnei mekomos. And at first he ate a kezias after darkness in one place. If he's then going to eat the kezias of Pesach with the bnei chabura, he's now eating in. This would now be his second place. Tanya Idach. We have another source. You can see it's a rather lengthy source. And the source is broken up by way of our markings with a long question. And then it will follow with a long answer. So the source says, Yochel ochal kezayis nomi ba'od yoim yechayov. Could it be that someone who eats an olive quantity of Korban Pesach that's naw on the 14th, means while it's still day, would he be chayev? Would he be guilty of lashings? V'din hu? Logic would lead you to say that yes. In these kind of Tanaic sources, the structure usually suggests two ways of looking at things. So here, we're going to start off with trying to show how it certainly should be Chayav Malkus. There will be a turnaround. You could see that just with our markings. If you scan a little bit, you'll see the squiggling line, the word Oy at the end of the line, where the alternative suggestion will be made. And then, in order to resolve this question that has two equal sides of analysis logically, the Brisa will then give us a pasuk to settle the matter. That will be part of the long answer. So in the meantime, we're focusing on someone that's eating an olive quantity of Korban Pesach, and he eats it while it's still day. In other words, it's not the right time for eating. Is he chayav malchus? So the source says that logic will tell me that he's chayav. Uma b'shal sheyeshno b'kumechot sli yeshno b'bal tochal no. Mind you, at the time that's fit for eating the Korban Pesach, assuming that it's roasted, so. And that's the time is the night of the, we'll call it Pesach night or Seder night. Mind you, at that time, when it's the time when it can be eaten, if you eat it sli, it cannot be eaten no. B'shal she'eino b'kum echot sli, at daytime, the day before the daytime hours, the daylight hours before the Pesach Seder comes, the day of the 14th, which is strictly forbidden. You can't eat it even in the tzli fashion. So all the more so, ain't no din sheyesh l'baal tochano, all the more so, you should be restricted and be guilty of lashing for eating it no. So according to this logic, we'll just go over it. Mind you, at the time that's fit for eating the Korban Pesach, don't eat it no. At a time that's not fit for eating the Korban Pesach, certainly you would be restricted and guilty if you eat it no. Now a turnaround. Maybe there's this other opposite logic. B'shal she'eino b'kum echot sli. Maybe during the daytime, which is a time that you're not supposed to eat it roasted, yeshno b'bal tochal no. That is when there's a negative command in eating it no. However, b'shal sheyeshno b'kum echot sli, when it's dark, which is the time for eating it roasted, eino b'bal tochal no. Well, then it won't be prohibited in being eaten no. In other words, according to this approach, it's basically focusing only on time period. If you're in a forbidden time period, so we go all the way. If you can't eat it in the wrong time the right way, so you can't eat it in the wrong time the wrong way. But if you're at the right time for eating it, after dark, you're at the right time for eating it the right way, it wouldn't be a problem if you eat it at night the right time, even though it's prepared in the wrong way. The altitame, and don't be amazed at that you won't be guilty for eating it at night prepared as gnaw. Don't be amazed at that. Share chuter michlolo eitzel tzli. The nighttime is a time of allowance, mind you, with regard to the tzli, which we said you were originally prohibited in eating it sli, that's by day. But now that you've reached the night, we make an allowance for you to eat it sli. So since we're in this allowance mode, we're already allowing things that were previously forbidden, we can allow also no. That's what this concept of huter michlolo, it's been allowed from its previous category of prohibition. So which way do we go? If you're dealing with someone who's eating it gnaw, mi ba'od yom, according to the first approach, eating it gnaw, mi ba'od yom, would certainly be chayav malchus. Before we can go into the response, we have to correct ourselves because of lack of accuracy. So let us start this source again from the beginning of the source, just going back a few lines. The gist of this question is, what is the law, or what is the result of someone eating a kezayis naw miba'od yom? Would that be chayav? So in the course of this, what we call the long question, there will be two approaches, both of which will demonstrate that eating a kezayis naw miba'od yom should be chayav and we speak about chayev, means chayev malchus. It should be. Once again, according to both approaches presented, it will appear in the source that eating a kezayis naw mi ba'od yom will in fact will be chayev. However, when we get to the answer based on the posuk, we will see not so. So that the source, on the superstructure of the source, it has a standard Tanaic structure where it opens up with a question leading you to think that it should be chayev, and then at the answer section where the long answer begins, Talmud Lomar, it will tell you he is not chayev. But in the question section, we have a somewhat unusual structure where two logical approaches are presented. But according to both of them, the case of eating the kezayis naw mi ba'od yom will in fact be chayev. Therefore, we have to read the source again from the beginning. Yochol ochal kezayis naw mi ba'od yom yeh chayev. Would it be that someone eats a kezayis naw, an olive quantity naw, on the 14th of Nisan, will he be chayev malchus? The din hu, and logic would lead me to say that he will be chayev as follows: Uma b'sha'o shiyeshno b'kum echol tzli yeshno b'bal tochal no'o. That would be at night when it's the time for eating it roasted. It is also a time when one is under a negative command not to eat it no'o. B'sha'o she'eno b'kum echol tzli, daytime, when you're not commanded to eat it sli, eino din sheyeshno b'bal tochano, all the more so, it's not the time for eating whatsoever. So it certainly would be an avera, a lav, of eating it no. Olo, or maybe not so. Now here on this expression, olo, Rashi explains, olo ne'mar kein. Or maybe we shouldn't say thusly, elo be'inyan acher, maybe present it another way. Now, what's this alternative presentation? We continue in the Brisa. B'sha'o she'eno b'kum echol tzli, the daytime, which is not the time for eating it roasted, yeshno b'bal tochal no. That is when there is a negative command in eating it no. B'sha'o she'eshno b'kum echol tzli, but at night, when it is the time for eating it roasted, eino b'bal tochal no. So it's not a time for guilt over eating it no. V'al t'tameh, don't be surprised at that. Sherei hutu michlolo etzol tzli. You see, the nighttime is a time when we open up the gates of leniency. Namely, mibod yom, according to this approach, mibod yom, the daytime was a time of tzli prohibition. So that's the time for the naw prohibition. But at night, when we make an allowance for tzli, well, along with that, we'll make an allowance also for naw, in the sense that you won't be chayev malchus. But if you pay close attention, according to both approaches, if you focus on the issue of miba'od yom and naw, according to both approaches, miba'od yom, eating it naw, would be guilty. Well, Talmud Lomar, now we read the answer, or the response. Al tochlu mimenu naw voshel mevusha b'mayim ki'im tzli'esh. That's the posuk. She'ein Talmud Lomar ki'im tzli'esh. There's no need for the posuk, which happens to be posuk tes, for it to tell me ki'im tzli'esh. Why? Because the necessity of eating it roasted is already mentioned in posuk ches. Uma Talmud Lomar ki'im tzli'esh. So why in posuk tes is this repeated? Lomar Loch, to tell me the following. Bishah sheyeshno bekum echot sli, at night, when you are commanded to eat it roasted, yeshno b'bal tochano, that's when you're not allowed to eat it, no. Bishah sheino bekum echot sli, during the day, when you're not commanded to eat it roasted, eino b'bal tochano, he is not guilty of eating it, no. This eino b'bal tochano mi ba'od yom, you'll notice, is contrary to the two ways of presenting it in the question stage. As we said earlier, at the question stage, when you focus on the issue of mi ba'od yom and no, you saw it being guilty. Here you see mi ba'od yom, eino b'bal tochano, he is not guilty. Rebbe Omer, Ekro Ani Boshel. Ma Tamalomer Bevushal. Rebbe is focusing on the posuk that says not to eat it Boshel Mevushal. Why the double expression? Shiyachol Ein Li'elo Shebishlo Mishachashecha. I would think that the prohibition of eating it Mevushal is only if you cooked it at night. You cooked it and ate it. At the time that's designated for roasting. Bishlo mibod yominayim. What about eating korban pesach that was cooked by day? Tamid lomar boshel mivushal mikomokom. Even if it was cooked by day, it still would be prohibited to eat it at night, mivushal. Rashi explains five lines from the bottom. Ein li sheyischayev al achilas boser elo im kein bishlo mishachashecha. I would think, without the double expression, I would think that the only time for eating it cooked is if you cooked it at night, shu ikrizman, you cooked it at its actual time, at its designated time. The main time for Korban Pesach is the eating of it at night. We turn back to the Gemara after the source presented Shitas Rebbe, telling us that the halacha in terms of eating it mevushal and being guilty is independent of when it was cooked up. The Gemara continues with a question: V'hai boshel mevushal afke Rebbe litzli kedar ulashar mashkin. The double expression was already used to teach, and Rebbe himself used it to teach about the prohibition of having the Korban Pesach pan roasted, as well as using other liquids, as well as including other liquids beyond water as prohibited in the cooking. So once the drosha has been used up, it can't be used to tell me about the issue of time inclusion. The Gemara answers, Im kain, if as you say, it should be limited to the issue of how it's cooked as opposed to when it's cooked, le mokra oi boshel boshel oi mevushal mevushal. Granted, I need a pasuk to be inclusive, and that will be through in doubling the language. But in our case, the double language is not balanced. My boshel mivushal. Notice how grammatically the word was repeated, but in two different forms grammatically. So the fact that you have a double expression and a grammatical change, Shamas Mino Tarti, Rebbe can therefore derive both areas of inclusion, time and method. Tonu Rabbanon, Ochal Tzli Mibod Yom Chayov. If a person ate roasted Korban Pesach on the 14th, he would be Chayev Malkus. He'd be Chayev Lashing. Ukezayis no mishachashecha chayov. Eating an olive quantity of Korban Pesach in the no state, that would also be chayov. Chotoni tzli dumya dina. The source teaches tzli, similar to na, connected to na, ma na balav, af tzli balav. Just like na is alav, that means it would be chayev lashings. It's a negative command, a specific negative command resulting in lashing. So to tzli is considered alav. Well, bishlama na sival tochlu mimenu na. That's clear. It's clear that na is a negative command. Elo tzli minolon. Where do you see tzli figuring into a negative command? The source said if you eat it tzli, miba'od yom, eat it tzli during the daytime of the 14th, one is chayev, and we explained chayev being the just like na, a violation of a negative command. Well, where do you see that in the psukim? Dichtiv. Pasuk Ches says, V'yachlu asabosar balaylo hazeh. And we learn, inference, balaylo in, b'yom lo. At night, yes. Daytime, no. So you see, no. That's the inference is, in effect, a negative. A negative command. The Gemara asks, "Hi, lav habo michlal asehu." That is not a straight negative command. That's an inferred negative from a positive. The pasuk says, "And you shall eat the meat at night." That's a positive command. Eat it at night. That I am deriving a negative from that. That's called inference, which the Gemara terms lav habo michlal aseh. It's a negative command derived from inferring from the positive. Cholav habo michlal aseh. And when you have that type of construction, in fact, it's considered an aseh. And if it's an aseh, there's no malchus. There's no lashings for violating an aseh, a positive command. So where do we conclude, like the source suggests, that eating at tzli mibod yom would be chayev, and it's considered the violation of a negative command? And as we say often, the practical nafka mina is he would then be chayev malchus. Omer Rav Chisda, ha mani. Rav Chisda answers that this source is in accordance with, we continue at the top of Mem Beis Amud Aleph, Rebbe Yehuda Hi. It's in accordance with Rebbe Yehuda, the Tana Rebbe Yehuda, that tells us that a lav habo michlal aseh in this context is in fact a negative command. However, it's not really a lav habo michlal aseh, but rather it is a lav, a negative command, derived through the fact that the word leimor appears here. And we will see what we mean by that as we go on in the Gemara, the Sanya. Now, we have a Tanaic source that deals with a totally unrelated topic, but the point of Malchus, based on the fact that the word leimor appears in the Pasuk, that has ramifications for us. What is the topic in the source? This deals with sanctification of animals to the Beis HaMikdash. So without getting into the text yet, we just want to tell you that if you sanctify an animal that is blemish-free to the temple repair fund, you have done something improper. The rule is that if when dedicating animals, when being makdish, when sanctifying animals, if the animal is blemished, so your sanctification of the animal is a sanctification to the temple repair fund, where the animal eventually will be sold and the money fetched will be used for construction or repair needs of the Beis HaMikdash. However, if you have an animal that's blemish free that could go on the altar, and you are sanctifying it, it shouldn't be sanctified to the temple repair fund. It is supposed to go to serving as a sacrifice. The Gemara now, the Sanya. Shor v'seh soru v'kalut nidovot ha'aseh oso. The Pasuk is describing blemished animals. A shor is an ox, a seh is a sheep. If there's sarua or kolut, sarua is a situation where there's an imbalance in the size of the limbs of an animal or the different appendages of the animal. That's a blemish, if there's imbalance. Kolut is a case where the hooves are sealed, they're closed, as opposed to the standard cloven hoof of the kosher variety animals. So it's blemished. The pasuk says it is a nedava. Nedava, in this context, is a reference to its value is sanctified to the temple repair fund. Nedava, the pasuk said, nedava tasa, so oisa atomatis lebedek abayis. Being that we're explaining that the word nedava in this context was elsewhere in the Shas, nedava may very well refer to an actual sacrifice on the altar, but here the Rashi says on the second line from the top, nedava tasa oisa ledomov hakdisheu lebedek abayis. It is dedicated to the temple repair fund. And we're inferring here that this kind of animal, you are makpis lebedek abayis. V'i ato makpis tmimim lebedek abayis. And you are not to dedicate blemish-free animals to the temple repair fund. Mikan omru, from here we establish, kol ha-matvis tamim lebedek abayis over base, anyone who dedicates blemish-free animals to the temple repair fund is in violation of a positive command. The positive command is, if it's blemish-free, it shall go to the altar, not to the temple repair fund. Ein li elo base. I see from here that there is a positive command associated with this. Beloisa seminayan. How do I know that he would be in violation of a negative command if he were to makbis tamimim lebedek abayis? Talmud lomar vayedaber Hashem el Moishe leimor. At the beginning of the parsha that was just cited by Yikro Chof Beis, it opens up with that expression, and the Almighty spoke to Moshe, saying thusly. That word lemor appears in the pasuk. Limeid al kol ha-parsha kula. This shows us that the entire section that follows that pasuk she bo lo yisase. He is considered a negative command. This divrei Rabbi Huda. This is Rabbi Huda's approach. Now omar lo Rabbi lebar kapora. My mashma. Rabbi asks bar kapora, how do you see in this pasuk of ayadaber Hashem el Moshe lemor, how do you see a negative command? Omar loy. So bar kapora answers, dichtiv lemor. Well, the word lemor appears loy neemar badvorim. Bei rav lo neemar means that a negative is stated here. Bei rav amri lemor lav. Amor. According to our Gears of the Gemara, these two approaches, that is the Bar Kapora or Beirav, seem to be saying the same thing. The Yefei Einayim commentary suggests to use the Girsa of the Rabbeinu Hananel, and we have it marked off. And for those who are interested, you could see there's an alternative reading of the Gemara if you look in the Rabbeinu Hananel, but for the sake of simplicity, we're not going to dwell on that alternative text. However, what's important for us is to connect this answer to our topic of the Korban Pesach. So Rashi points out that by the Korban Pesach as well, at the beginning of the Parsha, it says, "Vayedaber vayomer Hashem el Moshe ve'el Aharon lemor," and that can be that found in Perek Yudbeis Pasuk Aleph of Sefer Shmos. So you see the word lemor there, and as you read on in the parsha, and you get to Pasuk Tes that we have been referring to. Pasuk Ches had been quoted earlier, V'ochlu, where it says V'ochlu es habosor b'laylo hazeh, and it says there tzli'esh, and we inferred from that b'laylo in b'yom lo, only at night yes, but at daytime no. And we said that the issue of eating it by day would be chayav. And where do we know that? Well, as we said, this is Pasuk Ches, coming on the heels of Pasuk Aleph, in which it said Lamor, so that the inferred negative commands follow from, it's not just a mere lav habo michlal asay, which otherwise would have been an asay, but since the parsha begins with the word lamor, it tells me lav or more, that there's, the parsha is to be also understood as a negative command. Before we conclude, let us just remind you that we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.